Hello?
This is a collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
Hello and welcome to Life of a Lifer. Today we have Edwin Johnson, and who is currently incarcerated in the state of Missouri, right? Are you incarcerated in the state of Missouri? Okay, so I'm really excited with you. I remember that you contacted us through letter. I read your story and I was really touched by your case. But I would like you to introduce yourself and talk about your case. To start with, can you please talk about you and what is your case about?
Yes, like you said, my name is Antoine Johnson. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm currently serving a life with no parole sentence for a murder I didn't commit in 1997. Allegedly, I was apprehended by some of the guys that was involved who gave up my name. But there was a witness that came forward 30 days after my arrest and told them exactly what she saw. Prosecutor put her in the hotel. The woman ended up leaving the hotel, the guys find out where she was at. They end up killing her. And the prosecutor ended up charging these guys, but never disclosed this information. So I find out about it 24 years later.
Okay. I am so sorry. And I will say that the saddest part is that you are not, there are a lot of cases like you. And I want to commend you because you are doing positive stuff and trying to live life in despite the circumstance. So I would like, if you could, please share with us what you have been doing with your time.
Yes, I'm currently working in the medical, the TCU medical, and what I do is I assist elderly patients with their daily living assistance, those that can't really do things for themselves, such as help them make their beds, push them to the shower, help them write letters, help them make phone calls, set up the table for them to eat. Well, during the COVID pandemic, I was asked to be one of four guys to live in the medical unit in Missouri. Wow. And the Kansas City Star reporter, a reporter from the Kansas City Star, got a hold of the story and did an interview with me, published it May 10th in the front page of the Kansas City Star. So, you know, I had helped assist medical personnel with the COVID patients. You know, some I had wrestled with for a minute because I didn't want to get the virus myself, but I noticed the inmates was relying on me. So I went on ahead and volunteered and held out.
Well, so it's very interesting that you're talking about you were scared about getting COVID. So so how that end up, like, I know that prisons have been struggling to handle COVID-19 inside prisons. I know that vaccines are available for you guys. Some of you are hesitating, some of them you're taking it. So what do you think about the entire situation with COVID and prisons?
Well, you know, we are more of the minority and less fortunate. You know, many people in society believe that, you know, we are that we shouldn't have a voice. We all deserve to be there. And that's not true, you know what I mean? But I can't speak for everybody. I'm speaking for those who are really remorseful, those who are really trying to make a difference, and those that are really wrongfully convicted and falsely convicted. Mm-hmm. It's hard because you understand that, you know, medical only goes so far. We don't have Medicaid. You know, we don't have benefits. We don't have insurance. So we don't get the proper care that we actually need. And most of these, you know, medical personnel can only do what they are capable and qualified of doing. So we try to stay healthy and try to reach out to our loved ones to try to make sure that we get that proper care that we need. But unfortunately, some of these guys just don't have nobody to care. And that's why a lot of them finding themselves in these situations to where, you know, their health getting bad and deteriorating, and they just need somebody by their side before, you know, they last days, you know?
Yeah. I think you touched a very important point. It is like there is a misconception in society that you guys have it everything free and everything is wonderful, that you get education.
This call is from
free.
A correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Oh, no.
We get food for free.
But here in Missouri, they give you what they call state tip. They give you $7.50 a month. They give you two thin, 3x2 state bars of soap. And a roll of toilet paper. That's it. You have to buy deodorant. You have to buy toothpaste. You have to buy lotion. You have to buy food. They give you 3 square meals. And I'm talking about, it probably won't even feed a 3-year-old. A 3-year-old won't be filled. So, and they give you, you know, they just give you state clothes, you know, 3 boxes, 3 shirts, 3 socks, and 3 state issues. But outside of that, yeah, you have to provide for yourself. And that's where the jobs come in. You know, you're trying to get a job and maintain, you know, financial stability if you don't have nobody on the outside looking out for you. Like I said, 90%, I mean, not 90, but I say 65 to 75% of these guys just don't have nobody looking out for them. So this is where all these other things come into play, you know, when guys find themselves being preyed upon, manipulated, misused, so forth and so on. But many guys in here, when I talk to, they just want to be heard. See, it's like, don't nobody listen. They hear them, but they want somebody to really listen, I mean. And they don't have no voice out there. Because like I say, we feel like, many people feel like nobody want to hear what, nobody want to hear what they got to say.
I think you touched a very important point. It is like, there is a misconception in society that you guys have it everything free and everything is wonderful, that you get education.
This call is from
free.
A correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Oh, no.
We get food for free.
But here in Missouri, they give you what they call state tip. They give you $7.50 a month. They give you 2 thin 3x2 state bars of soap and a roll of toilet paper. That's it. You have to buy deodorant. You have to buy toothpaste. You have to buy lotion. You have to buy food. They give you 3 square meals, and I'm talking about it probably won't even feed a 3-year-old. A 3-year-old won't be filled. So, and they give you, you know, they just give you state clothes, you know, 3 boxes, 3 shirts, 3 socks, and 3 state issues. But outside of that, yeah, you have to provide for yourself, and that's where the jobs come in. You know, you're trying to get a job and maintain, you know, financial stability if you don't have nobody on the outside looking out for you. Like I said, 90%, I mean, not 90, but I say 65 to 75% of these guys just don't have nobody looking out for them. So this is where all these other things come into play. You know, when guys find themselves being preyed upon, manipulated, misused, so forth and so on. But many guys in here, when I talk to, they just want to be heard. See, it's like, don't nobody listen. They hear them, but they want somebody to really listen, I mean. And they don't have no voice out there. Because like I say, we feel like, many people feel like nobody want to hear what, nobody want to hear what they got to say.
Yeah, I agree. It's a misconception, and not only food, but now COVID, also the lack of medical care is just inhumane, I will say. So I commend you again for doing this, for sticking up with them and help them, in despite of you being scared about getting sick. So that's really awesome. Have you been taking any type of education, art programs, or any type of positive programs?
Yes, I don't know if you're familiar with it in your state, but here we have an alcohol and drug program called the ITC, Intensive Therapeutic Community. It was created and designed by inmates and a couple of professors from Mizzou University. And I became a facilitator. I had to graduate, take 6 months of training. Then I had to teach the classes, as well as I had to go to classes to be a level 3 medical aid to help and assist these patients. I done worked in the clothing factory. I done worked on the line crew. You know, I done got my GED. I'm just signing up for a couple of college courses and got to wait till those available for me to enter. And while I'm trying to fight this wrongful conviction at the same time, Centurion Ministry Innocent Project is kind of reviewing my case. They didn't agree at the time, but they just reviewing it. So I'm just trying to stay positive and continue to do things. And like I said, I was grateful for the reporter reaching out to me at Kansas City Star newspaper and publishing that article. So and then with your help, you know, I appreciate you too. So, you know, I know it's a slow process. It's been 24 years I've been in jail. So I'm just hoping somebody, you know, believe in, you know, what I'm saying. And I'm ready to go.
What would you say to loved ones or folks that know somebody who they suspect? Because to be honest, there's a lot of folks that say, oh, I was convicted. So that's why people sometimes are hesitating. And I'm not talking about you, but in general, what you would say to the folks that have loved ones or know somebody that say they're wrongly convicted, how they can support?
Well, first you can start off by, and I like this, what Maya Moore said when she helped Jonathan Ernst get out, the famous basketball Maya Moore. Get to know them first. Hear their story. And then you can decide whether you're going to help, you're going to get involved or whatever it may be. But that's the biggest thing with prisoners. We feel like everybody, okay, I did some bad things in my past. Okay, I've lied. Okay, I did this, I did that. But now I'm trying to convey to you that, hey, I need your help. I need you. Don't nobody want to feel alone. And that's like the story I sent you, you know, lost and forgotten. That's one of the three biggest fears. Don't nobody want to feel unworthy and not loved. So despite whatever that person may have did and took you through, you know what I mean? In these conditions, you have no idea what these guys go through on a daily basis. I'm talking about from the manipulative mind games, the stress. It's just so much. And just to know somebody on the outside, current love, it can start to make a person want to change. So just get them the benefit of the doubt.
Call from a correctional facility and maybe monitored and recorded.
Just say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to hear you out. Until you prove me different, until you show me other, I'm going to go on and try. I'm just going to try to be supportive.
Okay. That's a really valid point. But what now, I would like to ask you the other way around. What would you tell to the, what would be your advice for growing convicted men and women? How they can get that help?
Well, I always say this, it's help out there available. You just got to be willing to put yourself out there and you got to be open and honest about who you are. Taking a moral and personal inventory of yourself. Get to know yourself and help people understand you. Hey, listen, this type of person I am, this is what I've been through, this is my strength, experience, and these are my hopes. This is what I'm trying to do. It's help out there, but so many people come out and misuse and abuse them people, and now they be hesitant and reluctant. So you have to separate yourself from them people and ask for the help. Say, hey, listen, this is me. I'm gonna put myself out there, and I really want some help. I'm telling you, it's help out there.
Yeah, you're right. That's totally accurate. Exactly. So now I have a final question for you before I give you some time to maybe address the audience again. But my
you have 1 minute left
for you, and it's perfect, is how people can help you.
Well, spreading the word on social media, you know, and spread Help Free Antoine, you know, help support Antoine Johnson, spread it on social media. And that's what gets their attention, because right now social media is the wave of the future. Sharing it off, linking it, DMing it, hashtagging, Help Antoine Johnson, Free Antoine Johnson in Missouri. That's the start right there, because it will get the buzz and attention of, who is this guy? Let's see what's really going on.
Yeah, that's right. Is there anything else that you want to share before the time is up?
I'd like to thank you, and I appreciate you, man. I'm serious. I'm glad what you're doing. You know, this is the first step in the voice for us guys in here. You know, a CO looked you up and told me, yeah, they're a fairly new place, but they seem legit. So, you know, you're making a difference. So I commend you. I thank you. I appreciate you, and you in my prayers.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Thank you.